Okay, so what are we up to now? Well, we've done all that we need to do on circuit electricity, and we've got to have a quick look at alternating current, AC. Everything we've talked about so far is DC. You get DC out of cells and out of most lab power supplies. That gives you DC. We need to move on to AC. Well, what's the difference? Well, DC current flow only flows in one direction. Don't say it's always constant. Somebody said that in the answer exam question the other day. Don't say it's always constant because it can change. But what it doesn't do is change direction. So DC, the current always flows in the same direction. AC, the current changes direction. Alternating current. Alternating means changing. So in AC, the current changes direction. It starts off going clockwise and then it goes anticlockwise and then it goes clockwise again and then it goes anticlockwise again and then it goes clockwise again and then it goes anticlockwise again. Anyway, you get the idea. And why is AC important? Well, AC is important because your mains electricity is AC. When you plug into the plug in your house, you're getting AC out of there. In the house, you're getting 50 hertz AC. What does 50 hertz AC mean? 50 hertz AC means that 50 times a second it goes backwards and forwards. A hertz is cycles per second. So 50 times a second, it cycles from one direction to the other direction and back to zero again. AC. Not all that hard. I'm a bit concerned. I can hear some noises and I'm thinking I'm in here on my own. I'm going to have to go and investigate. Hang on, I'm going to put some jazz on for you. No idea what that was, can't see anybody, just my imagination. Okay, what did we get up to? We're talking about hertz, weren't we? Frequency. Frequency is measured in hertz. Hertz is cycles per second. And we're talking about the frequency of AC waveforms. Well, they do like in the exams to draw you like a mock oscilloscope screen. Hopefully you've seen some AC on your oscilloscopes. Draw you a mock oscilloscope screen and ask you to work out what the frequency is. How do you work out the frequency? Well, what you've got to do is you've got to work out how long it takes for one cycle. And how do you do that? Well, what you do is you count squares. You start at zero or whatever point you like, and you count how many squares it takes before it gets back to that point, before one cycle is completed. And once you've worked out how many squares, you can then work out how long it was, because somewhere it will tell you in the question how many seconds it is per square, or how many milliseconds. A millisecond is a thousandth of a second. How many milliseconds it is per square. So if you've got 50 hertz, you should discover that it's 20 milliseconds for one cycle. How does 20 milliseconds become 50 hertz? Well, you have to do the reciprocal. Now, reciprocal is a mathematical term for putting 1 over it. So if I've worked out that it's 20 milliseconds, I convert that into seconds by dividing by 1,000. That gives me 0.02 seconds. And then I convert that into hertz by putting 1 over 0.02 into my calculator. And if I do 1 divided by 0.02 in my calculator, it gives me an answer of 50 hertz, 50 cycles per second. So let's quickly go through that process again, because they do ask you to do this process, and for some reason it causes you a lot of problems. Count the number of squares for one cycle. Once you've got the number of squares, find somewhere where it tells you how many seconds or milliseconds there are per square. Multiply the two together to get the total for a cycle. Once you've got the total time for a cycle, make sure it's in seconds. So if it's in milliseconds, divide by 1,000, put it into seconds. Make sure it's in seconds, and then do 1 divided by the time for one cycle. And that will give you the frequency in hertz. That will give you the number of cycles that can happen every second. Like I said, in England, our mains 50 hertz. In Jersey as well, in all of Europe now, it's all 50 hertz. If you go to America, it's 60 hertz. So in the exams, they tend to give one of those two examples. It's either 60 hertz or it's 50 hertz, normally in exams, because they're the two ones you're going to come across. In Europe, we're 50 hertz. In America, they're 60 hertz in their mains electricity. In the US, they're also 110 RMS volts. 110 volts RMS. In Europe, we're 230 volts RMS. What does RMS mean? Well, RMS is an average. Because, of course, the current that is going up and down as it's changing from one side to the other, it's got to go through zero, so it's going up and down in a cycle. So what the value that we use for voltage is actually an average. 230 volts RMS means that the peak voltage, the very top of the scale, if you look at it on an oscilloscope, is actually 325 volts. So 230 volts AC goes from plus 325 volts to minus 325 volts and back again 50 times a second. 230 volts is an average. Do you need to be able to do that? No, you don't need to be able to do that. You just need to be able to know that that the peak voltage is very slightly different to what we quote, so you don't get surprised if you're expecting 230 and you see 325 on a graph. You do need, once again, if they give you a mock picture of an oscilloscope, you do need to be able to work out what the peak voltage is. And the peak voltage, same thing, count the squares. How many squares from zero to the peak? And that will give you a peak voltage. Because somewhere it will tell you that there's 5 volts per square. You count the squares, you do the multiplication, you get a peak voltage. That's the peak voltage. The other one is peak to peak, which is also called amplitude. So if they ask you for the amplitude of the waveform, you don't just want from zero to the top of your peak, you actually want from one peak to the other peak. So it'll be twice the height that you get from zero to the top of the peak, because you want from one peak to the other peak. How many squares is that? Multiply that by however many volts it is per square, tells you in the question, and you will get a value for the amplitude or the peak-to-peak voltage. They like those questions, so beware of those questions, particularly know how to work out frequency. It's not hard, but for some reason it seems to cause you problems. Okay, they do like those questions. Look out for that stuff. What do we need to know about mains? Well, you need to know how to wire a plug, surprisingly. All plugs these days come wired. It's actually illegal, I think, in the EU to sell a electrical device without a plug on the end. It never used to be. When I was a child, all those 100 years ago, you had to put your own plug on. You'd buy your toaster, you'd get it out of the box. There'd be no plug on the end. You'd have to go and buy a plug and put it on the end. So everybody had to know how to wire plugs. Nobody knows how to wire plugs anymore because everything comes with a plug on it, but nevertheless you lot need to know how to wire a plug. Don't ask me why. How do you wire a plug? Well, you put the earth, which is the green and yellow one, up to the top. You put the neutral, which is the blue one, across to the left, and you put the brown one, which is the live, the one that actually carries all the potential difference, into the fuse on the right. And it's fairly easy. Remember, the live one's got to go to the fuse because the fuse is the important bit that's protecting you, and you need to be protected from the live one. You don't particularly need to be protected from the earth or the neutral. What's the earth there for? Well, the earth's there just to earth any metal cases so that if, for example, the inside of your toaster breaks and one of those wires with live voltage on it touches the metal case, if you touch that metal case, you don't get electrocuted because if instead of it coming to you, it goes to earth. And that, of course, will be a short circuit, which means lots of current will flow. And in the process of lots of current flowing, the fuse will burn out because fuses burn out when too much current flows. Don't think you need to know anything more than that. Basic electrical safety. Fuses are always in the live wire because the live wire is the one that carries the potential difference. It's not the one that, both the live and the neutral carry the current, but by the time it's getting back to the neutral, the electrons have already spent all their energy in the moat, in the vacuum cleaner or in the toaster or whatever it is that they're using. They've already spent all their energy. So you don't particularly need to be protected from the neutral. You need to be protected from the live, so the fuse is always in the live and the circuit breakers are always in the live. The circuit breakers back at your main switch box. And circuit breakers have RCDs in them these days, which are residual current detectors. What does an RCD do? Well, an RCD compares the current going out on the live to the current coming back on the neutral, and if there's even the slightest difference between them, the RCD cuts out. Because obviously, if everything's going right, all the current that goes out on the live ought to come back on the neutral. And if it doesn't, it means there's a leak somewhere, something's being earthed, there's a problem somewhere, so it cuts out to protect you. Why do we use RCDs instead of big fuses? Well, RCDs are much easier to reset because you just flip the switch back on again. They trip much faster than a fuse does, and you don't end up tempted to put the wrong fuse wire on. When you used to have old-fashioned, great big chunky fuses, when the fuse broke, if you didn't have the right fuse wire, you'd just be tempted to put something else in there. I've seen an exam question where they talk about a nail being bunged into the fuse. And of course, if you put the wrong thing in there, something that can carry much larger currents, you no longer have the protection you should. Putting a nail in there would be peculiarly stupid, but people did it because they're desperate to get their electricity back on again and they didn't have the right size fuse wire to replace the fuse. These days, we don't have big chunky fuses. You'd have to have a very old house that was desperately in need of rewiring. If you've got big chunky fuses back at where the electricity comes into the house, back at your electricity meter, you'll have little switches, you'll have little RCDs. Right, what else do we need to know? Oh, power. Okay. Power is energy divided by time. Power is how much energy you're getting per second. Energy divided by time. What's power measured in? Power is measured in watts. Named after James Watt, the man who invented the practical speed, the steam engine. There had been steam engines before Watt came along, but Watt designed one that worked really well. So he's the one that's associated with the design of the steam engine, James Watt, and we commemorate him by naming power after him, because he brought power to factories the world over, because everybody copied his designs. Okay, so watts. Well, it turns out that a watt is that power supplied in electricity is equal to the current multiplied by the potential difference. So earlier on, we'd got potential difference is equal to current multiplied by resistance. We've now got power is equal to current multiplied by potential difference. And everything has a power rating. So your iron will have a sort of 2000 watt power rating, and your kettle will have a 2000 watt power rating. Your light bulb will have a 100 watt power rating. And if you know there's 230 volts across them, you can work out what the current is, because the current must be the power divided by the potential difference, because that's just a rearrange of the first equation. And hopefully by now you can rearrange equations. That turns up sometimes. They'll give you the equation. You've just got to be able to rearrange it. And we've already talked about current being charge flow divided by time. And we've talked about potential difference being energy divided by charge, and you can rearrange those. So if you want to know how much charge has happened, you multiply the current by time. If you want to know how much energy has been transformed, you multiply the potential difference by the charge, by the amount of charge that's gone through. And they can give you questions that involve rearranging all of those, but again, they will give you the equations. And does that mean that I've completed electricity? Yes, it means that I've completed electricity. So that means I'm going to shove you some jazz on whilst I go and have a jig about. I swear I've played you this one already. Let's try a different one.